Blog Talk Radio.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Holy Mary, Mother of God.
Athanasius.
listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And good morning. Today is November the 11th, 2022. And today is the Feast of St. Martin de Tours. And with the conclusion of our nine-day novena for the blessed souls in purgatory, the month of November continues the dedication for the souls in purgatory. So this is the memorial prayer for suffering souls in purgatory and an act of heroic charity for the souls in purgatory. And the prayer which I'm about ready to say here is the heroic act of charity, which is especially powerful, calling to mind as it does an especially powerful intercessor with our Lord, his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And however, if you have made the true devotion, devoted devotion, consecration to Mary, then you have given Mary all that you have by way of works and merits for her to dispose of as she wishes and sees fit. You simply make a conditional heroic act of charity, leaving to Mary the decision of what she will use for whom and when. Heavenly Father, in union with the merits of Jesus and Mary, I offer you, for the sake of the poor souls, all the satisfactory value of my works during life, as well as all that will be done for me after death. I give you my all through the hands of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, that she may set free whatever soul she pleases according to her heavenly wisdom and mother's love for them. Receive this offering, O God, and grant me in return an increase of your grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The memorial prayer for the suffering souls in purgatory. Almighty God, Father of goodness and love, have mercy on the poor suffering souls, and grant them your aid. To my dear parents and ancestors, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus mercy, to my brothers and sisters and other near relatives, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus mercy, to my benefactors, spiritual and temporal, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus mercy, to my former friends and subjects, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus mercy, to all for whom love or duty bids me pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who have suffered disadvantage or harm through me, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who have offended me, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To all those who are especially beloved by you, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those whose release is at hand, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who desire most to be united with you, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who endure the greatest suffering, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those whose release is most remote, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who are least remembered, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who are most deserving on account of their services to the Church, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the rich who now are the most destitute, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the mighty who now are as lowly servants, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the blind, who now see their folly, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the frivolous, who spent their time in idleness, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the poor, who did not seek the treasures of heaven, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the tepid, who devoted little time to prayer, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the indolent, who were negligent in performing good works, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. Excuse me. To those of little faith who neglected the frequent reception of the sacraments, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the habitual sinners who owe their salvation to a miracle of grace, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To parents who failed to watch over their children, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To superiors who were not looking out for the salvation of those entrusted to them, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the souls of those who strove for hardly anything but riches and pleasures, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the worldly minded who failed to use their wealth and talents in the service of God, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who witnessed the death of others but would not think of their own, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who did not provide for the great journey beyond and the days of tribulation, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those whose judgment is so severe because of the great things entrusted to them, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the popes, rulers, kings, and princes, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the bishops and their counselors, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To my teachers and spiritual advisors, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the deceased priests in this diocese, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To all the priests and religious of the whole Catholic Church, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the defenders of the Holy Faith, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who died on the battlefield, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who are buried in the sea, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who died of stroke or heart attack, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who died without the last rites of the church, Mary and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who shall die within the next 24 hours, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To my own poor soul, when I shall have to appear before your judgment seat, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. O Lord, grant eternal rest to all the souls of the faithful departed, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come, before you I stand. sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And living the blessing, many times being deployed in the field, in the United States or places overseas, it is popular to say we are living the legend. But sometimes we might say living the dream. When we are in the middle of taking on serious stress situations, well, sometimes it's even better to know that we are living the blessing. How many times have you heard someone bless you or friends in a casual manner? Importantly, we leave Mass receiving a blessing to go into the world, taking that blessing we have received into the world. The blessing at the end of Mass is called invocative blessing. This is the same blessing you receive when a priest blesses your home or visits the sick in the hospital. That is an invocative blessing. The priest invokes, which simply means to call upon the Lord. It is a calling upon the Lord to bless those whom the priest is blessing. Example of a blessing from a priest would be, may the blessing of God come down upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. There's nothing magical or superstitious about blessings. God is the one who does the blessing. One blessing is for people, and the other is for things such as rosaries, Bibles, medals, and similar items. The blessing for people is called an invocative blessing, and the blessing for things is called a constitutive blessing. Examples of the constitutive blessing are religious medals. Constitutive blessings are blessings for things. The word constitutive is taken from the Latin verb constituo, which means to determine or to make known. Blessings received through praying the rosary, using holy medals such as the miraculous medal, reading the Bible, are seen as sacred. Objects of blessing represent the prayers of the saints. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 to 12 states, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. An example of a blessing offered by the priest is for a Bible. Almighty God, we ask your blessing upon this Bible. May it be a source of learning and blessing for all those who read it. We ask this through our Christ, our Lord. Amen. Blessing of homes. Here is an example of a blessing. Almighty God, we ask you your blessing upon this home. Bless it and protect it from all trouble, such as fire, storms, and floods. And may the peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, be in this home, in the hearts of those living here. Blessings are either spiritual or physical. They can be offered by clergy and laity, though they are different. when you are blessed by a priest, this carries weight, as we have seen with St. Paul. When a lay person is blessing someone, it falls in as a sacramental. The blessing of someone is creating a change. Still, to receive a blessing, it is important to know where the source is coming from. A blessing can actually be a curse because the evil one has no power to offer a blessing. It is very common to ask for prayer from people even if they are not Catholic. A grandmother who might be a Protestant, can you ask them to pray for you? This is an important question. Can we respect cultures that are not Christian, giving a blessing from their heart? I think that the Catholic Church would say that you can receive a blessing from someone with good intentions. This is a different level than the priest offering the blessings at Mass or any of the sacraments. What makes a blessing from a Catholic priest or any Catholic different from other Christians from other religions? I believe there is a sharp distinction between Catholics and anyone else. As Catholics, this is kind of built into us so as to respect our priests as holy men serving God, even priests who have done wrong. The Virgin Mary said at Fatima that we should never judge a priest because they will have a severe judgment from Jesus if they are scandalous. We should pray for our priests. Sometimes it might be a blessing to suffer. Whatever helps us grow in our faith, we can see the hand of God throughout our lives. Sometimes we might not know it until you look back and see how the Lord has had his hand in your life. I do believe that if we are living in God's grace, we are blessed. By bringing Christ to the world by our witness, like Mary, we become a blessed person. Living the life of the sacraments, we are living the blessing. So next time someone asks you how you are doing, just tell them, I'm living the blessing. St. Francis once noted that if he had an angel to his right and a Catholic priest to his left, he would first recognize the priest because it is his right hand of blessing that offers Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. A non-Catholic cannot ordinarily receive the Eucharist, but they can receive a blessing from the person offering the Eucharist. They come up and they have their arms folded, Christ together, to show that they are not able to receive the Eucharist at this time. Perhaps they're in the RCIA, perhaps they're in the journey to becoming Catholic. And so that's what they're being prepared. And then you may have people visiting. And so we are living the blessing.
Just the other day, said the walls coming down, said the peace is just a breath away. One world, one voice, one happy family. That's what the world believes. I read my Bible just the other day. Said the kingdom's coming down. Jesus said the kingdom is just a prayer away. One Lord, one God, one faith eternally. Yeah, that's what the church believes.
Let us all stand together in the kingdom. No more darkness, no
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And today, again, November the 11th, is the Feast of St. Martin de Tours. St. Martin de Tours was born in 316 in Siberia, now in Hungary. He died November 8th, 397, in Candiscal, France. His feast day is November the 11th. The church celebrates the memorial of St. Martin of Tours, bishop. The saint's biographer, Sulpicius Severus, compared Martin to the apostles and attributed to him amazing miracles that included healings, exorcisms, visions of angels, and temptations by the devil. In 397, as he saw death approaching, he donned sackcloth and ashes. Saint Martin is the first bishop and confessor honored by the church in the West. He was a principal apostle of Gaul, where his feast was celebrated as a holy day of obligation, with an octave and popular celebrations. According to the 1962 Missal of Saint John the 23rd, the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite, November 11th is also the commemoration of Saint Menes, an Egyptian soldier and martyr put to death during Diocletian's reign in 295. And Veterans Day coming on the 11th hour of the 11th day in the 11th month of the year 1918, an armistice was signed ending the war to end all wars. November 11th was set aside as Armistice Day in the United States to remember the sacrifices that men and women made during the war in order to ensure a lasting peace. In 1938, Congress voted Armistice Day as a legal holiday. But World War II began the following year. Armistice Day was still observed after the end of the Second World War. In 1953, townspeople in Emporia, Kansas, called the holiday Veterans Day in gratitude to the veterans in their town. Soon after, Congress passed a bill renaming the national holiday to Veterans Day. Today, we remember those who have served for our country in the armed forces in our prayers. Saint Martin of Tours. Saint Martin was born again in modern Hungary. The famous Benedictine monastery dedicated to his name. Against the wishes of his parents, he associated with Christians and became a catechumen at age 10. At 15, he entered the army and served under the emperors Constantine and Julian. While in the service, he met a poor and naked beggar at the gates of Amiens, who asked him in Christ's name. Martin had nothing with him except his weapons and soldier's mantle, but he took his sword, cut the latter in two, and gave half to the poor man. During the following night, Christ appeared to him clothed with half a mantle and said, "Martin the catechumen has clothed me with this mantle." Martin was 18 years old when he received the sacrament of holy baptism. At the pleading of his superior officer, he remained 2 years longer in the army. Then, upon requesting dismissal, Julian accused him of cowardice. And then he receives this sign, with the sign of the cross. Martin answered, "I shall more certainly break through the ranks of the enemy than if armed with shield and sword." When released, he sought out St. Hilary, Bishop of Poitiers, and was ordained. Later, he was made Bishop of Tours. Close to the city, he built a monastery where, with 80 monks, he led a most holy life. On one of his numerous visits to the imperial court at Trier, a certain man besought him to help his daughter. I firmly believe in the Lord that my daughter will be healed through your prayer. Martin healed the girl with consecrated oil. Tetra Dias, who witnessed this extraordinary manifestation of divine power, asked for baptism. In one town, when he tried to convince the locals to cut down a pine tree they venerated, they agreed, but only if Martin would sit where the tree was going to fall. Martin seated himself directly under the path of the leaning tree, and the townspeople began to cut from the other side. However, just as the tree began to topple, Martin made the sign of the cross, and the tree fell in the opposite direction, slowly enough to miss the fleeing townspeople. Martin won many converts that day. Martin tore down many non-Christian temples and always built a Christian church in their place to make a point about true worship and give people a genuine replacement for their false idols. In one case, when a huge tower was not torn down under his orders, a bolt of lightning came to destroy it after his prayers. Wow. Martin also possessed the gift of discerning spirits. At one point, the devil appeared to him dressed in magnificent robes and encrusted with gold and gems, and answered he was Jesus, and Martin was to adore him. Martin immediately saw the mistake the devil had made, and had to make an ask, where are the marks of the nails? Where the piercing of the spear? Where the crown of thorns? When I see the marks of the passion, I shall adore my Lord. Jesus would not come in riches, but with the signs of his suffering and poverty. The Lord Jesus Christ never prophesied that he would come in purple robes and royal crown. The apparition immediately vanished. Martin recognized the deceit, replied. At one point, the devil appeared to him dressed, again, in magnificent robes encrusted with gold and gems, and announced he was Jesus, and that Martin was to adore him. Martin immediately saw the mistake the devil had made and had to make, and asked, where are the marks of the nails? Where the piercing of the spear? Where the crown of thorns? When I see the marks of the passion, I shall adore my Lord. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that's amazing. Jesus would not come in riches, but with the signs of his suffering and poverty. The Lord Jesus Christ never prophesied that he would come in purple robes and royal crown. The apparition then immediately vanished. Three dead people were he raised to life. While celebrating Holy Mass, a luminous sphere appeared over his head. He was far advanced in age when he fell into a grievous fever during a visitation of Candeias, an outlying parish of his diocese. Unceasingly, he begged God to release him from this mortal prison. His disciples, however, implored him with tears, Father, why are you leaving us? To whom will you entrust the care of your disconsolate children? Deeply moved, Martin turned to God, and if I am still necessary for your people, I will not refuse the labor. Your will be done. When the bystanders saw that despite his great fever, he remained lying on his back, they besought him to change position to alleviate somewhat the pain. But Martin answered, Brothers, rather let me look toward heaven than to earth, so that my soul in its journey home may take a direct flight to the Lord. Shortly before death, he saw the evil spirit. "What do you want, horrible beast? You will find nothing in me that's yours." In those words, the aged saint breathed forth his soul on November the 11th, 397, at the age of 81. St. Martin's Feast, also known as Martinsmas in Europe, arrived in autumn, the beginning of the wine harvest. This was also the time of slaughter of the stock for winter meat. His images are usually depicted with a goose, symbolizing that Martinsmas was the last festive meal before Advent, because in France in the Middle Ages, the strict 40 days of Advent fast began the next day. So in past centuries, November 11th was celebrated as a Thanksgiving day. Thus it was the custom to give or to have St. Martin's goose and taste the new wine, St. Martin's wine, on his feast day. A quick spell of warm weather around his feast day, usually termed Indian summer. In the U.S., it is known as St. Martin's Little Summer in Europe. St. Martin is certainly best known for having cut in two pieces his lamb's wool-lined cavalryman's cloak to give half to a nearly naked beggar outside the gate of Amiens, where Martin was stationed. He would probably have given the man his whole cloak, but for the fact that Martin, too, was nearly naked, having already given away much of his own clothing to those in need. The patron, St. Martin is patron against impoverishment, against poverty, alcoholism, beggars, Burgenland, Calvary, France geese, horsemen, horses, hotel keepers, innkeepers, in Germany, quartermasters, reformed alcoholics, riders, soldiers, tailors, vintners, wine growers, winemakers. The symbols, horse, sword, and coat, cut in half, goose, scourge, hare, broken images, chair in flames, demon at his feet, globe of fire. Man is often portrayed as man on horseback, sharing his cloak with beggar, man cutting cloak in half. Well, and so that's what he's actually, you know, seen, that act of charity and giving us something of himself to someone in need. And what a great example St. Martin gives us, and the miracles that God worked through him, because he was faithful. And that's what's important for us, to be faithful. So we are called to live the blessing, to live the blessing. And to live out our holy Catholic faith.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And to do his will in our lives. To be that light.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
She broke your throne and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Watching this video. We love you so much. We hope you love this song.